chapter 22 this evening. I realized when Pastor had asked me to split the service with Brother Gabe that outside of my college class, I've actually never preached a message before. That was about 6 years ago, was my last one. So hopefully it goes well. And I just wanted to touch on a few of the qualities I found in King Josiah's life and how he exhibited the qualities of obedience and leadership and endurance, and how we can just apply those in our life, in our walk with the Lord. In chapter 22, just to give a little preface to the chapter, Israel had passed the time of the judges, and they had now gone into this cycle of having a king who did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and then going back to a king who did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And they've been going back and forth with this for years and years. Josiah's ascension to the throne began after the reign of Manasseh and Josiah's father Amon, both of whom ruled wickedly and led the nation in idolatry and human sacrifice, with Amon's term being one so full of bloodshed and darkness that his own servants decided to kill him and put Josiah on the throne at only 8 years old. The chapter here opens up with the start of Josiah's reign and his instructions to Shaphan to oversee the repair of the house of the Lord. It had fallen into disrepair with the two previous generations following their kings into idolatry. Let's start here in verse 1. It says, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adiah, the Bozkath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, Go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hands of the doers of the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work, which is in the house of the Lord, to repair the breaches of the house. I'll drop down here to verse 8. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king, and brought the king word again, and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house, and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest have delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Azahiah, a servant of the king, saying, Go ye, and inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that is written concerning us. We see here that upon hearing the book of the law, that Josiah is convicted in his heart to the point where he rends his clothes and is repentant for probably not only what took place in his own life and in the previous generations, but what was still going on in the land of Israel. We see that he tells Shaphan and Azahiah to go inquire of the Lord of what he should do next. And they end up going to the prophetess Huldah. And that picks up here in verse 15. It says, And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall you say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I shall bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. After hearing both the law and the response from the prophetess, Josiah knew that a complete change was needed But before he could begin the work in the land of Israel, he needed to present the nation and the people with the truth, and allow the law to reform their own hearts before they could eradicate that idolatry and the human sacrifice that was taking place. We see his action here starting in verse 1. It says, "And the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and of Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar, and made a covenant before the Lord, to walk after the Lord, and to keep his commandments, and his testimonies, and his statutes, with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant." I believe Josiah had a great love for the nation that he was leading and for the people, even to an individual level, because not only when he found the book of the law and was convicted of it himself, but he decided that the people needed to hear it for themselves and made sure that all of them, no matter if they were in a position of power or just one of the regular people, that they gathered them all together to hear the book of the law. And he himself read it to them. And then on top of that, he made a public proclamation and a covenant before them that he would follow the Lord and obey the commands and return to what they should have been doing those past two generations. And we see that the people were convicted as he read and decided to stand with him in that covenant. So we see that a retribution would need to be enacted immediately. Josiah recognized immediate action was needed in accordance to the law, and he didn't delay his desire to be obedient to what he discovered in Scripture. It required him to root out numerous places where idolatry and human sacrifice have been ingrained and made a public display of its complete eradication. It starts here in verse 5. It says, "And he put down the idolatrous priests whom the kings of Judah had ordained to burn incense in the high places in the cities of Judah and in the places round about Jerusalem, unto them also that burn incense unto Baal, to the sun, and to the moon, and to the planets, and to all the hosts of heaven. And he brought out the grove from the house of the Lord without Jerusalem unto the brook Kidron, and burned it at the brook Kidron, and stamped it to small powder, and cast the powder thereof upon the graves of the children of the people. And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove." Jump down to verse 10. It says, "And he defiled Tophath, which is in the valley of the children of Himmon, that no man might make his son or his daughter to pass through the fires of Molech. And he took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entering in of the house of the Lord by the chamber of Nathan-Malek the chamberlain, which is in the suburbs, and burned the chariots of the sun with fire, and the altars that were on the top of the upper chamber of Ahaz, which the kings of Judah had made, and the altars which Manasseh had made in the two courts of the house of the Lord, did the king beat down and break them from thence, and cast the dust of them into the brook Kidron." And then verse 14, "And he brake in pieces the images, and cut down the groves, and filled their places with the bones of men." I see that obedience is required in leadership. In order to lead Israel out of darkness and back to following God, Josiah knew that complete obedience was necessary in following through with the Lord's commands. The king would not have been an effective leader without his public display of obedience and commitment to the destruction of idolatry. As believers, we're all called to exhibit the qualities of leadership in our own daily lives. We're called to be leaders of our families in the truth of God's word, to be a pillar and support the church as we follow a godly pastor. We're to be a guide and a light to the lost people in our own lives, and to also be an example to the new or the weaker believer. The Christian life is not a leisure pursuit, and we're never to divorce ourselves from the world and just remain comfortable and complacent in our own ecosystem. Our obedience to God's word is necessary if we're to be an effective role in our position of leadership. Turn over with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We see also that endurance is key in walking in obedience. The changes that Josiah needed to make didn't all happen in one day. There were many areas he needed to address concerning Israel's disobedience and idolatry. The thoroughness in which he completed his mission would have taken deliberation and a vision to see the job completed. In our own lives, there are several areas that we can exercise endurance and look to the Scriptures for guidance and encouragement when that strength is needed. The Christian walk is compared to a race numerous times and requires endurance and the conviction of heart to walk right before God. James chapter 1, we see we're to endure in temptation and hardship. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In the times of temptation that will come in our life, we have to recognize that position we're in, but also use that knowledge to escape it and put it behind us. God doesn't want us to be trapped in a cycle of besetting sins, but wants us to live in victory. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Verse 7 says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Hebrews 12:1, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your own minds. Turn over with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1. I also see we're to endure in our walk and our testimony before the Lord. In Colossians 1, we as believers are commanded to walk worthy of the Lord, and without endurance applied in our life to remain strong, we will quickly fall and fail in our own strength when we just try to do it ourselves. Colossians 1:10 says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Ephesians 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We'll always have times and seasons in our life that are harder than others as we go throughout our walk with the Lord. And as we keep our focus on him, he's promised to give us the strength we need to continue forward. Since I was young, even going back just to grade school, I've always enjoyed reading about history or reading about historical figures, whether that's about presidents or generals or just men who decided they wanted to do something great and just help build the world as we know it today. One of the men that I thought of immediately when I thought of the quality of endurance is that of Ernest Shackleton and his expedition he led to Antarctica. He's a British explorer who had already been on two previous Arctic expeditions. Shackleton set out on his third Antarctic trip, this time endeavoring to cross all of Antarctica from sea to sea via the South Pole on the Imperial Antarctic Expedition, also widely referred to as the Endurance Expedition. After obtaining the necessary financial backing and securing a ship, an ad was put out in search of men willing to explore in the unknown Arctic, and it read, men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honor and recognition in event of success. Shackleton quickly filled his ship roster, leaving Britain in August of 1914 for Antarctica. It took him and his 28 crew members 6 months just to reach the edges of the ice that surrounded the continent, and it was shortly after arriving here that the ship HMS Endurance became trapped. And even though they had modified the ship's hull to be able to breach the ice on its journey, on January 19, 1915, it came to a halt within the frozen sea. Shackleton and his crew made a base camp there on the ice with the ship, hoping it would become freed within a few months so they could continue on their journey across Antarctica. But by October of 1915, he realized that freeing the ship was hopeless, and in November of that year, they watched as the Endurance was crushed by ice and slowly sank. With the ice beginning to crack around them, the men took the two lifeboats they had left and set out for shore. And 497 days at sea since departing Britain, they arrived at what would be called Elephant Island. The expedition had now turned from one of exploration to simply that of survival, with the men modifying the boats into huts on the shore and taking any measure to ensure they stayed alive to return home. They fought the extreme cold, starvation, and frostbite, and hunted seals and penguins for food, unsure if they ever make it back, or if they would just die there on the island. After 4 months of no hope of rescue, and their rations nearly gone, Shackleton took four of his crew to cross the island to a whaling station on the other side, where he knew he could find help to rescue the rest of his crew. After 4 months and four attempts to land a rescue party, Shackleton was successful in saving his entire crew, with not a single one dying in the nearly 2 years since they had first been stranded with their ship. It's clear he was a man that was driven to protect his men, and as a leader, he displayed incredible endurance and leadership, even when he himself was suffering along with his crew. Our endurance in the Christian walk is different as we face our own spiritual and physical hardships, but the quality of striving to endure in every circumstance is something that we can all apply, no matter where we are in our walk with the Lord. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." In conclusion, I think the last verse here really just lays out and sums up applying the qualities of obedience and leadership and endurance. It's in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, "He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God." Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for